Save big on everything for your next project when you shop at Menards. Finish up projects with GE-branded silicone sealants. Tub and tile silicone is 100% waterproof and offers same-day water readiness, making it perfect to use in kitchens and bathrooms. Shop our selection of GE sealants in-store and on Menards.com and save big. Plus, check out the weekly flyer to view all of our other great deals happening this week.
Save big money at Menards.
Saving money on everything for your next project when you shop at Menards. Menards has a huge selection of concrete and mortar mixes. Our concrete products are great for a variety of applications, including pouring a walkway, setting a post, or even installing stone veneer. View our entire selection of concrete mixes and supplies in-store and on Menards.com. Plus, check out the weekly flyer for more great deals happening this week.
Save big money at Menards.
Hello, and thank you so much for joining us for your SmackDown post show. We've got so much to talk about tonight. First of all, you guys put us over 200,000 YouTube subscribers today. Actually, technically, we broke the 201,000 subscriber mark. So we made a little 200,000 graphic and we got to update it already. So thank you guys so, so much for your support. We've got a babyface John Cena. We've got SummerSlam to talk about. We've got an interview that I did with Lyra Valkyria live right now. But the biggest news in town, we've got an incredible guest host and the lovely Miss Jazz. Jazz, how are you doing today?
Good. Thank you for having me on. I'm so honored. Thank you so much.
Oh my gosh, we're so excited to have you. And before we dive into this episode of SmackDown, I want to let you plug at the beginning because we haven't had you around here before. So it's not just like the customary sign off. I want to give you a second to kind of spotlight your own content and channel because you're doing wrestling stuff. You're doing a lot of fun stuff outside of wrestling. Yeah. Tell people what you've got going on and where they can find you.
I'm at Jazz Unfiltered on YouTube and JazzMarie23 on Instagram. I do reels and stuff like that for wrestling, but I also do like exercise, wellness, and food. I'm a big foodie.
We love that. We love that around here. You got to eat, man. You might as well do it the right way. So thank you so much for being here. Guys, you know the drill. Get in your super chats. Get in your humper chats. Leave a thumbs up on this video. And a reminder to subscribe to Fightful Select because we've got scoops all weekend long. News about Becky Lynch getting a new theme by the Wonder Years went up earlier today. We got scoops threads. We've got Q&As for you for nights one and two of SummerSlam that are going to be on the main. We've got post shows both nights. We've got Fightful Select post shows both nights. I'm going to be on the second one, but it'll be Alex Pawlowski at SP3 on the first one because I'm going to be at SummerSlam. We're busy over here, and I got busier because Sean Ross Sapp's flight to SummerSlam got canceled. So all of a sudden, things picking up here. But we have so much to talk about. We're going to start with this face turn feeling promo from John Cena. So we have some chats about this off the bat. Anthony Velasquez saying, have to think the Cena face turn is a swerve. This came out of nowhere and was very random. And Drink It At Moe's, who's always so wonderful to us, says, can't be the only one not buying this Cena return. For once, I guess we can see him. Let's talk about this segment. We have John Cena coming out, and he's pretty quickly interrupted by Cody Rhodes. And we get Cena saying, like, man, Cody, you kicked my butt. You forced me to sign this contract against my will. And all I have to say is thank you. Because that kind of gave me the kick in the butt that I need. Yeah. And he says that he was initially chasing shock value TV and kind of buries The Rock and Travis Scott, if you've been following this little through line, but says that there's not going to be any platinum rappers out there this time except for him. And Cody, yeah, so far, kind of buys it. I don't know. Jazz, I want to know if you buy it. What did you think of this this face turn feeling promo from John Cena here?
I agree. It was so random, and I don't get what the purpose was yet. So I don't know if that's actually going to happen. But then people are like, Cody Rhodes is going to turn heel. And he even looked different tonight, too. So I don't know what's going on. I actually kind of believe that's the route they want to take right now because of the whole Travis Scott thing and how that went down. So I think they might do that and have Cody Rhodes go heel.
Interesting. Okay, chat, let us know if you think that Cody is going to go on the heel side of this. I'm intrigued by this because it did feel very out of nowhere. It did feel like it was set up to be a swerve, but at the same time, we just don't have that many John Cena dates left. Like, and I think he does retire as a face. Kind of feels like we're setting up for Cody to be the one to win. Now it's just people are like, is The Rock going to come back and help Cody out? What's going on here? But Tim McFowell saying, money's for the ladies' night. I could talk about how Julie and Zelina should have been on the SummerSlam card all day, but I'd rather get Kate's take on Triple H's PR day. Whew. Why on earth do they keep putting him out there, buddy? I don't know. So a couple of things today. I feel like we run into this a lot with Triple H, and I don't want to get too deep into it, but there are continuing gaffes to certain things. And today he said that his world is not political when he was at the White House 2 days ago and aligned with Trump. In an effort to push forward like a children's wellness bill, but nonetheless, to say you're not political in your world and to be at the White House feels a little bit contradictory. And then the other piece of news coming out today, he was asked about the pending sex trafficking scandal. And he said, everybody makes mistakes. Allegations are allegations. And, not for nothing, but these were allegations that were backed up by 70 pages of evidence. And everybody makes mistakes, makes it feel like I said something I shouldn't have and I apologize versus like this decades and decades and decades of behavior from Vince McMahon that we know to be pretty horrific, pretty horrific. So if you don't want to speak on that, don't feel like you have to, but if you would like to speak on that, feel free. The floor is yours.
Yeah, I think the conversation kind of veered off, like, and I think that's where, it probably got really awkward for him, I would say, but I don't know. I don't want to say too much about it. I think he was there for a role. He did it. That was it. I try not to go political.
You're here for the wrestling. I like it. I like it and I respect it. Big Jim around here saying, Jazz, welcome to the Friday Night Open Challenge with our OTK, the one true Kate, our tribal Kate. Thank you so much, Jim, for your generosity. I appreciate it. Yeah, it was funny. I talked to Sean about what we wanted to do when Alex Cardoza left, and we were like, we'll wait until after SummerSlam to make a decision. Well, SummerSlam's here, and we haven't even discussed what we're going to do long-term, so we will see. We will see, but we have Jazz here tonight, and that's what I'm excited about. So, but this John Cena promo, it was so funny because I'm watching him give this babyface promo, and I'm like, this guy is just meant to be a face. Like, it was a terrific promo. He had not his teeth out, but he did a pretty good job basically retconning what wasn't a great, I don't want to say whole heel run, but the impetus for this heel run was certainly Travis Scott and The Rock, and they haven't been around. So I think he did a good job saying, like, you know what? I got goaded into it, was the wrong decision. It's just a matter of how it plays out this weekend. You're thinking Cody's going heel. Yeah. Do you think he's going heel with anybody's help?
See, I don't know, because like you said, The Rock has been gone. It could be The Rock. We had a little moment of him in the, tribal chief. Sure. But I don't know. I think it might just be on his own.
That would be cool. I would be here for it. I would also be very down for like a Cody faction leader run if he was going to go heel. Like if he was going to be picking up some people from NXT or some people that are maybe underutilized on the roster, I think that could be really fun. But Shane says, so Cena's motive for finally succumbing to the dark side was someone convinced me it'd be great TV. What? Is this just is it a swerve or just insanely dumb? Here's where I think it would be dumb. I need Cody to be smart enough to see this coming and win it anyway. Like if John Cena isn't a face, if this is a swerve, I still need Cody walking out of there champion because I don't want him to be caught off guard again by John Cena. He already looked pretty silly trusting him and then getting the belt shot and then waiting 45 minutes for Travis Scott to come to the ring. So I want Cody to be smart. I want him to be prepared. Sometimes our baby faces aren't always the most prepared and the smartest in WWE, but who do you think leaves champion? You said you think Cody's turning heel. Do you think that opens the gates for him to win this title back?
I mean, definitely, but I just always thought John Cena would like have a longer run.
Sure.
Because, you know, they're going to play out his like his tour. So yeah. I feel like it's going to last longer. I mean, if he loses it, he's going to get it back. I feel like he's going to retire with a title.
You think he's retiring with a title? Okay.
Yes.
Okay. I like it. I don't know. Like this, the beginning of this felt so like, aw shucksy, because he started with this like, I told you I was too tired and that I had things to do at Netflix and I was too emotionally spent, but you made me come to work anyway. So it feels like he was setting something up. So I guess we will have to see how it plays out. But Orion Ben saying, Women Power Fridays, welcome, Jazz. Howdy, Bings. Well, thank you so much for the warm welcome for Ms. Jazz joining us. We got over 2,200 of you watching right now. We do appreciate the support. Like I said earlier, over 200,000 subscribers on YouTube. And it's so funny. I was making the graphic for it. We just did like a small little like animated video thing. And when I started making it, it was for 150,000 followers and I didn't finish it. And I was like, dang, okay, we picked up 50,000 quick because So we appreciate the support here so much. That goes a really long way in helping boost us in the algorithm. Yeah. And we do have post shows every weekday and Saturdays for AEW Collision. We got specialty shows with The Hump and Grapsody. We've got PLE reviews, pay-per-view reviews, specialties for breaking news, all the content, literally too much content. The algorithm starts to punish us for it. So thank you. Thank you all for the support. It is very much appreciated. How are you feeling about John Cena coming across as a face today? I felt like he was so much more natural in this role. Like I was like, this guy's just a bona fide face. Did you kind of feel like, yes, this is the promo we want to see from John Cena? Or have you been kind of enjoying this heel run?
I thought he could have, you know, played with the heel run a little bit longer, especially, you know, for the longer for, I haven't been watching that, you know, wrestling as long, maybe like 2 or 3 years. And so I can imagine watching him for, you know, so long be the face, wanting him to be heel for a little bit longer. So I don't know. I think they had to make some changes due to other things that happened behind the scenes. So
yeah, it certainly feels that way. I was kind of hoping we'd see him work with more young talent. Like I appreciate the CM Punk and the Randy Orton calls back. So I was just kind of hoping we'd see like
Carmella Hayes.
I think took the words out of my mouth. I'm a big Carmelo gal, a big Carmelo gal. So is the internet, apparently. So We Want Mello was trending again. But let's keep moving along, guys. Get in those super chats and humper chats. Let's see what happens on Sunday with this. I am certainly intrigued. What should we talk about next? Let's talk about
trying to read the comments. You guys comment fast.
They do. They're moving quick. They're moving quick. We do have this one from Dave Cost that says, I think there's multiple ways that this goes off that promo. Baby street fight. I like that with intrigue on the finish. A baby torch pass. Red herring. Cena stays heel. Cody goes heel and joins The Rock. Well done. So I will say this did at least at minimum create intrigue in what I think people felt like was a very straightforward story. Yeah. I assumed that from the beginning of this, we were going to get babyface John Cena talking to Cody Rhodes and being like, man, it's like looking in a mirror because their archetypes as babyfaces are so similar. Like they both kind of have that like textbook face, good guy thing. Cody kind of goes more the like polished, suited up direction. And Cena obviously has got his jorts on and his bright colored shirts. But at the end of the day, they're like the squeaky clean faces. And I thought it was going to be one of those of like, I'm stepping out of this. I've got to know that you're the guy that I can pass this on to. So How would you feel about that if we just end up with two faces at the end of Sunday? Do you think that's kind of boring, or are you okay with that?
I feel like they're forcing a heel, you know, somewhere in that dynamic. I don't know how that would look. Right? Yeah. I don't know how that would look, honestly. I feel like it's kind of like Bianca when she's like up against a face character too. It's like she still has that, you know, I'm for me type of attitude. So one of them would have to take that role too. I think maybe John would.
Yeah, I think that's a really good comparison because Bianca was a face, Rhea was a face, Io was a face, kind of in that triple threat. So you're right. There's a lot of baby faces on the roster. Like that Seth Rollins injury, assuming it's real. Can never assume too much, but assuming it's real. There's not a ton of heel star power right now. Gunther is like the only one that is getting full-on heel reactions, meaning that like even when Seth was there, the problem with that faction is they're so damn cool. Everybody's cheering for them, right? And John Cena's been getting mixed reactions because it's his last run. So we heard a lot of that.
Save big money on everything for your next project when you shop at Menards. Menards has a huge selection of concrete and mortar mixes. Our concrete products are great for a variety of applications, including pouring a walkway, setting a post, or even installing stone veneer. View our entire selection of concrete mixes and supplies in-store and on Menards.com. Plus, check out the weekly flyer for more great deals happening this week.
Save big money at Menards.
Tonight, so I think some bona fide heel behavior would certainly help things. But let's talk about our women's U.S. title match because, man, you got two nights of SummerSlam. You got 2 3-hour pre-shows. You can't get Julia versus Zelina on this card. That's how I felt. But it does more and more feel like they view these weekends as like SummerSlam weekend, like kind of all encompassing. But I just feel like the women's titles should be defended on the cards in the same way, especially when you have two nights. But Julia finally making her first defense after winning this in June. She's great, man. This was just, she's so hard hitting. There's some early technical stuff going on here. This was a lot of Julia in the beginning and then Zelina kind of coming back with that avalanche German suplex, but Julia regaining some momentum, top rope butterfly suplex. But the finishing sequence with that Northern Lights bomb looking good. I feel like this was one of Zelina's better outings from an in-ring perspective. I just wish this got to be on the card. And we do have Kiana James in tow as the representative here. How are you feeling about this Julia and Kiana alliance? And what did you think of this match?
The alliance is great because it gives Kiana, you know, time and a spotlight. Yes. And I missed her and I'm happy she's back and she looks great. And the match itself was amazing. I think it made both women look phenomenal and, you know, really elevated that title, which is what it needed. So I applaud them. I think they did amazing. I'm happy about it.
I am
too. Could have got on the card, but
yeah, that's how I am. I'm like, I loved this. It could have snuck on the card, but Jim saying loved Zelina and Julia, especially nice to hear a crowd yes. That live for Vega. Yeah. And what's interesting was it wasn't really there when she had first come out because she hasn't really been picking up, I think, a lot of screen time or wins on TV, but the match won them over. And that's always really cool to me. Like when something feels like maybe it's not as warm or connected with the crowd at the beginning, but by the end of it, people are just sold on the pro wrestling that's going on.
Yeah. Anytime they're cheering for the women, I'm happy. And I'm sad. That's how you know it's, you know, they're putting it all out there when everyone in the crowd's chanting for them.
I think maybe we got a little ambitious with doing two women's mid-card titles off the bat because it feels like one is always kind of in lieu. Like we didn't have the U.S. title on the Evolution card even, and I was like, on the Evolution card, you can't even get all the women's titles defended. That's rough. And Anthony Velasquez kind of sharing our excitement and our pain here, saying that it was a really good match and it should have been on the SummerSlam card. We're all in agreement here. We're all in agreement. Yeah. More women's wrestling on pay-per-view cards, PLE cards, excuse me. So But I'll tell you what, with all these PLEs, all these pay-per-views, everything going on, we've got a way that we can save you some money, especially on those pay-per-view cards, man. So those AEW ones can get a little pricey, but not if you travel outside the country with a VPN. And we've got the VPN for you, NordVPN, who is always so, so great to us. We're going to let Sean Ross Sapp tell you all about them.
If you're a wrestling fan and you're frustrated with all the services you need to watch all the different wrestling shows, Fightful has your solution with NordVPN.com/Fightful. Change your virtual location with just one click and you'll be able to watch Raw, SmackDown, NXT, and PLEs on one Netflix account. You'll also be able to get a lot of pay-per-views at a much more affordable price than you do here in the United States. This is a must-have for wrestling fans. That way you don't have to have 7 different accounts to watch all of the shows that you want to watch. In addition to that, they have a great 30-day money-back guarantee and an incredible deal right now going on. But that's far from it. You can protect yourself on their VPN service, the fastest in the world, shield your data from snoops and criminals, protect yourselves on public Wi-Fi, and it's available on all your devices and operating systems. NordVPN.com/Fightful.
All the Nords in the chat say, hey, what's going on? We hear more and more from people about how NordVPN is helping them save money. I watched SmackDown in Canada on Netflix today. I use my VPN so that I can watch all of my WWE wrestling on Netflix by traveling out the country with it. So we've been hearing a lot of like that this is the right time for wrestling fans to have a VPN because there's more advantages to it now than ever. Like if you want to buy one pay-per-view, you'll save enough for the year just by using Nord. And we love hearing that stuff, but over 4,100 of you guys tuned in across platforms. We thank you so, so much. We're here with the lovely Jazz. We're talking some SmackDown. Lots to discuss. I'll tell you one thing that is kind of like not my favorite, and I don't want to be too negative, but everybody's saying we want Melo. We want Melo. We want Melo. And they're like, we're going to use this Aleister Black and Damian Priest feud to give you yet another GQ and to not even elevate Carmelo Hayes with this feud. Damian Priest is a made guy. Aleister Black is a made guy. Carmelo was kind of the linchpin between the two of them, and now he's not even really in the picture. There was talk that Drew McIntyre wasn't going to be able to make SmackDown, SummerSlam, and his match because he had a passport snafu that happened while he was at a wedding in the UK, and he wasn't sure he was going to be able to make it. The Miz threw his hat in the ring. A couple other people did, but the internet said, we want Melo. Today's Melo's birthday, and we don't even get him on the show. Come on, man. But we have a decent enough match between Aleister Black and Damian Priest. It does end in DQ. We had some what you would expect from these two. It was some striking exchanges. Aleister Black targeting the legs of Priest and using kind of like that power offense that he's so good at. But Black throws a steel chair into the ring, into Damian Priest's face, actually, and we get a ringside brawl. After the match, Aleister Black delivering multiple chair shots and finishing with a Black Mass that knocks Damian Priest over the steel steps. I don't know the benefits of this. There's not stakes on it. There's not a stipulation on it. We have another DQ. Seems like we get a DQ every episode of wrestling TV on WWE lately. And when this first started, I was like, oh, awesome. This is going to be used to elevate Carmelo Hayes. You have two veterans. We're having like this triple threat setup. Damian Priest is one of the best, I feel like, at elevating another talent. He's just a very selfless in-ring guy. Aleister Black returned not that long ago. I felt like he was riding some momentum there. So I thought this was going to be used to elevate Carmelo. Yeah. And it seems like he just kind of got phased out. So I don't really have complaints about the match except for yet another DQ ending to prolong a feud. But where are we going with all of this, Jazz? Help set me straight on this.
were you expecting like an interference? Is that what you mean from Carmelo?
I was hoping something. I was hoping something because like, if this is a new era for WWE, one that responds when people say, hey, rehire R-Truth, Ron Killings, he's one of the most entertaining guys in the world, right? Like, I feel like they should be listening to things like We Want Mello, especially when there's such an obvious place to put him back in this. Like, we finally got him out of Miz-neyland, as one of my previous co-hosts called it. Like, this weird Carmelo Hayes Miz alliance that never really took off. And I guess I just had really high hopes for this feud. So whenever I see these two doing something, I'm that meme of the thing that's like the guy poking it with a stick of the, come on, do something. Like, I'm that's how I'm feeling about pushing Carmelo Hayes. But you mentioned Carmelo earlier as like the first name out of your mouth of somebody that could get elevated by like a Cody Rhodes program. Sounds like you're on the same page as me as far as liking Carmelo here.
Yeah, I mean, he started off so strong. His first match was with Cody Rhodes. He was the first draft pick. So it's like, what happened to that? I don't know. He kind of got lost a little bit. Or forgotten, maybe. I mean, not from us, but, you know, by them, I think. I don't know. I don't know what's going on. But that would have been, that would have elevated the match. An interference.
I feel like if we were ending in DQ anyway, like, can't he slide back into the picture?
Yeah.
Any other thoughts on the match? Who do you like coming out of this, the victor? Do you think Damian Priest gets the better of Aleister Black or vice versa?
I don't know. Damian's kind of been like quiet too. He's been kind of muted. Last year was his year, you know? So I don't know. He was dominating last year. So I don't know. I thought they were going to, you know, elevate Aleister Black because, you know, he's back now. But that didn't happen. So I don't know. I kind of want Damian to be on top again. I kind of want to see him like get the spotlight more. But
yeah, it was kind of funny because him and Drew had that trilogy of matches that they beat the hell out of each other. They're and good. It showed up for both of them. Like they both were like, we need a break because we are banged up human beings. So then Damian came back and he's been in this story. And I don't know if it's gotten too long in the tooth or what, but it, I think you're right in that it feels like the bloom's off the rose a little bit, maybe. But meet Norma saying, I'm coming in late. Who is our lovely new co-host and is she vegan? I'm vegan. You're a foodie, though. So
I'm a foodie.
Yeah. Well, see, meet Norma is always in here giving me crap because he's meet Norma. He loves his meat. He rightfully got on Sean, though, for liking his steaks medium, well done.
I don't really like steak, you know, period. So, a little bit.
what's like your meal of choice? If you're like, I'm craving some meat. Like, are we talking hamburger, chicken sandwich? What are we going for?
I really like spaghetti, like meat sauce spaghetti and stuff like that. Like, I can do that.
Love
but
that.
Yeah, like steaks are always so chewy to me. I don't know. Like even the best cooked steak, I just can't do the texture, I think.
When I did eat meat, pulled pork was like my like in a properly like a proper sauce all day.
Ooh, like ribs all and day. Stuff or I could do ribs.
She's gonna be like, I gotta get off this review. I gotta go eat something. Me Norma's also saying, hope SmackDown was cromulent. I miss when go-home shows were men. Listen, this was very go-homey. I will say the crowd in Newark did me proud being in the state of Jersey. I felt like they, even with Cena, like they popped for him when he came out and then they booed him when he was a heel and then they cheered for him when he was saying face things. They understood the assignment tonight and I liked it.
Yeah. Welcome to our insanity.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Orion Ben knows. We have a lot of fun over here. We got a lot of fun going on over here, but let's keep working through this episode of SmackDown. We've got let's flip back to the ladies, because I gotta say, this Charlotte Flair and Alexa Bliss alliance has been working for me. I got to talk to Charlotte very briefly at Media Day, but I had asked her about the fact that this is the most vulnerable she's ever been. And I don't think it's a coincidence that this is the most connected that the crowd has kind of felt to her in a long time. And she gave me a really beautiful answer about just like how the things that Ashley, the woman, has been through also are the things that empower Charlotte Flair to be as great as she is. And that she had gotten kind of so stuck on Charlotte Flair being impervious to everything. And that this has kind of opened an avenue for her, and her and Alexa were a riot at media together. First of all, the height difference alone is just incredible there. But they talk about their women's tag team title match coming up at SummerSlam. Charlotte kind of acknowledges that Alexa had to earn her respect a little bit, but they are not friends. And Alexa kind of jokes that she was helping Charlotte develop more of a personality here. Do you think they're walking out the new tag champs?
Maybe. Maybe.
I'm intrigued by this one. I believe there are favorites at my bookie. I'll read the odds for you guys in a little bit, but they, I think, have clicked in a way that maybe people weren't expecting. I think it would be really cool. It's a tough call with Liv Morgan being out, because she could very easily come back and say, "Why'd you lose my tag titles?" Yep. Or she could come back and say, "What are you doing with my tag title, Roxanne Perez?" So kind of depends on what they want to do there. But some fun stuff on the women's side. I really do feel like between that alliance and Naomi, like the women are doing a good job kind of carrying a decent amount of the show, of the show. But why don't we move along and talk about this Los Garza with Santos Escobar versus surprise opponents for the AAA World Tag Team Championship Open Challenge. We get Mr. Iguana and Psycho Clown showing up. I'm so nervous I'm going to say Psycho Kid, you guys. I keep being like Psycho Clown. just out of habit, but nice to see them on television. Kind of got to be a little bit of an LOL TNA moment, I think. Yeah. If you had asked me, like, is TNA going to have talent on the main roster before AAA? Most people would have thought that. But they're really locked in with NXT because there's a ton of crossover going there. But Mr. Iguana, very, very over. We get some beautiful work from Yeska, the Iguana. Wade Barrett just trying his best to convey that this is, in fact, a puppet. I love that, like, the heel announcer is just pointing out the truth here. I thought that was very funny. Yeah. But we do have Los Garza winning here and retaining their titles. I have no problem with any of this except for, why isn't Santos Escobar wrestling? Like, that guy is an unbelievable wrestler, and I want to see him in the ring wrestling. Your thoughts on this match, and are you itching to see Santos Escobar back in the ring as well?
Of course. I think him and Andrade would have, like, some really cool feud moments. But I think the Iguana, Mr. Iguana, was my favorite part of tonight's show. It's just entertaining. It's so entertaining. And, I'm sure it's, like, a family favorite, you know?
Yeah, I mean, it was like an immediate bestseller. I think that first AAA show, people were really locked in on he was all anybody was talking about. Everybody loved Mr. Iguana. So have you watched any of the other AAA stuff, or are you just watching kind of when it crosses over into your world a little bit?
I watched the last big thing that they did. What was it called? I can't remember. The show.
The Worlds Collide one?
Yes. Yeah, I watched that. So that's how I saw him, I guess. That's how I first was introduced to that character. But
yeah,
I love it. There's something old, like old school about him, like about his gimmick, you know, like it's just funny. Like, I don't know. Something
there
different.
There's something with lucha wrestling. I'm not going to pretend I'm a lucha expert. I'm super not. Like, that's not my favorite style of wrestling. And it's one that I just happen to know the least about as well. But I do know enough to know that usually in lucha wrestling there is something that at least is absurd enough that it circles back around to, like, we just love it. Like, it's so absurd we can't help but fall in love with the chat saying he has an iguana. Yeah. The commentary literally doing the most tonight. But I think everybody immediately fell in love with him. And what was cool to me about Worlds Collide was I felt like the presentation was so different than what we typically see on WWE, and I know that was a bit of a priority for people. So I'm glad you got to see that show. But we've been talking about who's winning at all sorts of stuff. So I'm gonna read you down your MyBookie AG odds that we have. We've got a lot of them because we got both nights covered for you. We're going to let Sean Rossap tell you all about them after and the benefits of using MyBookie, but we're going to run down who your favorites are in all of this. We've got Randy Orton and Jelly Roll at a minus 500. Jade Cargill favorited over Tiffany Stratton decently heavily at a minus 600. We've got CM Punk and Gunther for that World Heavyweight Championship. CM Punk favorited, but not overwhelmingly. Like, that one's a little bit trickier. That's a minus 270 and Gunther's at a plus 180. So that's not going to win you big bucks, but he is the favorite there. If you think Gunther's going to retain, you might make a little bit on that. Alexa Bliss and Charlotte favorited at a minus 600. Roman Reigns and Jey Uso heavily favorited at a minus 1500. So if you think there's a shot in heck that Bron Breakker and Bronson Reed are winning, that's what you're going to want to bet on. And then we have some prop bets as well. Will Cody Rhodes turn heel? Dead even heat at 120 for both yes and no right now. Total Spears in the tag match between Reigns, Uso, Breakker, and Reed. the under over on that is 5.5 Spears. So there you go. First finishing move performs in the world title match. John Cena's attitude adjustment, a minus 150. The Cody cutter at a 110. And they've got bets on tsunamis. They've got bets on will Jelly Roll land an RKO. All sorts of fun stuff. But for night two, you've got, what do we have here? We've got Lyra and Becky. Will Bailey make an appearance? There's a prop bet there as well. So plenty to bet on, but Lyra favorited over Becky. You've got Naomi at a minus 1,000 to retain her title. Cody winning is a favorite. Dominic and AJ is pretty much a toss-up, and Solo and Jacob is pretty much a toss-up. But, there's some fun to be had over at MyBookieAG, and we're going to let Sean Rossap tell you more of the fun that we have going on with them.
Oh, my God. You can bet on pro wrestling? Yeah, you can. At mybookie.ag. Then, when you use the code FIGHTFUL, you get a $50 bonus on your $100 deposit or a $100 bonus on a $200 deposit. If you think you know more than the casual fan, than the average fan, about what's going to happen on the upcoming pro wrestling shows, head over to MyBookie. Test your mettle over there. But it's not just pro wrestling. It's UFC. We've covered UFC odds for years here at Fightful, and we are getting them exclusively from MyBookie. Sports all across the world. They have live casino games, table games, slot games, all kinds of stuff at MyBookie. If you haven't checked it out, make sure you do that and use the code FIGHTFUL. Now, we only want you to bet what you can, and please bet responsibly, but use that code FIGHTFUL and get that fantastic bonus and make a little money off something that you might have a little bit of an education on here in pro wrestling.
MyBookieAG, they're so good to us. They're going to be on board with us at least through the end of the year. So show some love. Win some money. Win some money over there. We're 31 for 31 on lock picks with them, by the way. So FightfulSelect.com if you want the best betting tips that we can get you. And hey, you can buy your whole Fightful Select subscription with like one big win off of MyBookieAG. So head on over there. We're going to keep working through this episode of SmackDown. Keep those chats coming. You guys have been awesome all night. Over 5,600 of you guys watching, hanging out with us on a Friday, hanging out with me and the lovely Jazz.
You'll have to tell me how those numbers work after this or some other
I'll
time.
Tell you I'll tell you some I'll smarten you up with some gambling knowledge for yes. Sure. let's talk about Solo Sikoa, okay? Because if you think this guy is silly, I gotta tell you, he's even sillier at the press junket today. I didn't get a lot of time with him, but he was having more fun, I think, than anyone. Like, it was It was good vibes all around. R-Truth Ron Killings was amazing, of course. Charlotte was also seemed like the most relaxed she'd ever been. She was just having a great time, it seemed like. But Solo Sikoa was just full on goofball mode. What a fun presence to have in the room today. But he's giving this backstage interview, sharing his frustration that the steel cage wasn't hanging over the ring as he requested. And that tonight is going to be about sending a message ahead of his title defense with Jacob Fatu. We get his promo kind of reiterating the tension between the bloodline and the additional characters that be headed into SummerSlam. And I just love that he was like, gonna stamp a big boot across his big head with my big heart and my big muscles. Like he's the best on the, that's what he was going to stick to, Big Jim. But I have seen, I don't know if you watched NXT when Solo Sikoa was there, if you still do, but it was so funny seeing him go from, at NXT, he was kind of like an understated babyface, and then he got called up to the main roster to be a right-hand man, and then he was a very stoic leader, and now he has so much personality. It's so vibrant. I'm loving this edition of Solo Sikoa. I think most people are, but how have you liked his kind of transformation and what we've gotten from him of more recent? Because I feel like him being allowed to have more of a personality has been great.
He's been amazing. He went from being mute, like he never talked, never, to like having to develop something that works for him. I think when he first started, you know, he tried to be kind of like Roman and be like, you know, acknowledge me and stuff like that. And when that didn't work, he's like, all right, I gotta tap into my like humor bag or something. But that worked. That really did. And when I saw him live, I was laughing the whole time in the crowd. He's just amazing at what he does.
He really is. And to your point too, like the story was that he was the new Roman. So I think the personality that he was the new Roman. But people forget how funny Roman was in that passage too. Like but largely prompted by a lot of the Sami Zayn story. But like Roman has comedic timing that, because the fixation of his character was not necessarily comedy guy. See, there you go. There you go. There's some of our friends have some similar feelings to you as far as Roman Reigns goes out there, but I'm with you. But let's talk about the match that got set up with this too, because we do have Jimmy Uso versus Tala Tonga and his in-ring debut for WWE. The former Hikuleo, now Tala Tonga here, and I would say he's the tallest Tonga. He's a very, very tall guy. This was designed to show how tall and big he is. Like truly, the match was laid out so that we would see Jimmy kind of rallying with some super kicks and a spear, but Tala Tonga just absorbing everything, and then like a hand raising up from hell, kind of. We get this huge choke slam. This was fine. Like this served the purpose of making Tala Tonga look good. And then after the match, we of course get Solo Sikoa, Tama Tonga, and JC Mateo coming to pick the bones a little bit, and we see the ring coming down, and he's trapped in there. But we see Fatu and Solo shouting at each other through the cage as he comes in to try and make a save here. This was all well and good. I don't have any complaints about it. My only thing is, I think Jimmy Uso is like great. I prefer him ring wise to Jimmy even. And I just feel like he's been kind of the only member of the bloodline that's waffling a little bit. And I think there's something really special with him. And I want to see that have some creative fruit to bear in a way. How do you feel about this? I'm very much looking forward to the cage match between Solo and Fatu. I think that's going to be a blast. What do you think of how we got there tonight?
I think I wanted Jimmy to win. I'm kind of with you on that. I think I wanted Jimmy to win that one. But I think it was to, you know, put over his family member. I get it, but they kind of
like your I like your hand motions.
What they could have done, what they could have done was have him win and then like have them beat him up or something and still do the cage and all that. But you know, I get it. I think that was a good presentation for Tala. So
yeah, I agree with you. I think if it was someone who wasn't making their in-ring debut, they probably do exactly what you said. And Jimmy wins, but then we have the post-match beatdown anyway. But yeah, they had to get Tala Tonga in there. But Shane saying, Joe Tess telling us how Triple H is fostering the next gen of youth fitness while stood next to RFK and Trump was change the channel level maddening. Yeah, we talked about this a little bit earlier, but they definitely are unapologetically embracing that side of things while in the press saying that they're not political, which is just, it just literally is. I'm not saying like one side or the other, but you can't say it's not political when you're at the White House. That would be like me being in the pool and being like, "There's I'm not wet. That's just plain silly. But let's keep moving, guys. Get in those super chats and humper chats. We are coming down the home stretch a little bit. We got some more backstages to talk about, and then what we went home on as well, featuring the one and only Jelly Roll, who I gotta say, like, from a talker standpoint, pretty natural. Pretty natural.
I mean, it makes sense. He's a performer.
He is. He is. I think he's taken to this in the exact way that they would want him to. Like, I don't think they could ask more for him from what he's doing. It's not my favorite involvement. Like, that's content that's not for me, but it is for the majority of their crowd. So, like, I'm not going to say it's a bad idea just because it's not my favorite way. But that being said, everybody should book exactly what I want all the time. So it's a toss-up. But we do have Tiffany Stratton and Jade Cargill with a quick backstage interaction, just confirming that their match was still happening. Their TV match, I think, was one of the best Jade Cargill matches I've ever seen, if not her best one. So I have high expectations of this. Are you excited for this match? And who do you think walks out champion?
I am excited for it. I don't understand why Tiffany came out for her. I don't understand that, and I still don't. And it kind of makes me question things. Like, I don't know. Is there going to be an interference? Is there going to be, like, something there? I don't know. I see Jade taking it, though.
Okay. So Jade and Naomi holding titles at the same time would make for a very interesting situation for Ms. Bianca if she was healthy to come back.
Ooh.
Whose side is she on in all this? Yeah.
Her and Jade have not talked. Now, I always say this on my socials. They still have not talked to each other. So I find that weird.
It is a little weird. And at this point, has to be intentional, right? Like, it feels like that's a play now. Like that's a play now for sure. I'm inclined to agree with you. The only reason I think Tiffany might is because we do know that Jade Cargill landed a film role. So if this was her way off TV for a little bit to go film, that would make sense. But otherwise, I feel like that's probably not the case. But
if Tiffany won, do you think it's going to be like an interference or clean?
Is it going to be an interference? I don't know. I feel like if she wins, something will happen after the match. Like, if she wins, I think you get I beat Charlotte Flair. I beat Trish Stratus. Now I beat the unbeatable Jade Cargill. Nobody can stop me. And then somebody comes out. I don't know who, but I think there's a big moment. Maybe Cardi B. Maybe Cardi B. I don't know.
I'd love to see that.
Guys, coming down the home stretch here, we've got our night one tag program to talk about. A lot of tag wrestling on night one, actually, which I'm excited about because I'm going to be there and I really like tag wrestling, so I'm excited for that. But Logan Paul and Drew McIntyre were shown arriving together earlier. No promo, but just arriving as they do. Logan and Drew hit the ring. Logan is talking about green shirt guy in the front row and does his Jelly Roll's an outsider thing. And he was like, I know I started as an outsider, but nobody is me, Logan Paul. And I feel like Logan Paul tries on several different heel personas week over week over week, and none of them really fully stick. He sold like crazy last week for Jelly Roll, so that was cool to see, but I just don't feel like Logan Paul has really locked in on something that works. But then he calls out Jelly Roll pretty directly, saying country stars don't belong in the ring, and he'll never be you might be a country star, but you'll never be a superstar. And we get Drew backing him up and placing the blame on Randy Orton. And says that Orton brought this upon himself and says that when he prays, bad things will happen. And he's praying now, which I thought was a cute callback to I prayed for this and it happened. We get Jelly Roll Jelly rolling up with Randy Orton and they storm the ring. Nick Aldis, God bless him, tries to intervene, but a brawl breaks out. No surprise there. We get Randy dishing out RKOs while security gets chokeslammed by Jelly Roll. Some recognizable faces from the Monster Factory here in Jersey. So to shout them out for our independent wrestling security that we have. But kind of what you would expect from a go-home segment with this, except the faces are standing tall. Now, wrestling math tells you that means the heels are winning. So do you think Drew McIntyre is pinning Randy Orton, or do you think that Jelly Roll is still getting the victory here, even though they stood tall tonight?
Ooh.
I know, a little tricky.
That's the one. That's the one match I really don't know. I'm going to give it to Jelly Roll anyways, though, because I like to see the face win. But anything could happen. And, you know, Logan and Drew is strong tag team. So
it's true.
They're really strong.
They're very strong. They're very strong. I do like that you kind of on both sides have one really big dude and you have one guy that's like a little bit more like super athletic kind of thing. Yeah. Like they're evenly paired in that way. I think it's possible that you know, this maybe isn't the end of the program. So I think it'll be interesting to see what way it goes.
I did hear about that too. Yeah. So
there you go.
I'm gonna stick with
what are you most looking forward to on SummerSlam tonight, or this weekend rather?
Naomi's match for sure.
I've been hearing a lot of that. My cousin, who's going to be at night one as well, was kind of bummed because that match is on night two, and he was like, that's actually what I'm looking forward to the most, which is pretty cool because he started watching at an era where women's in-ring wasn't a priority, I will say. I love it. I love that the chat is like, Drew is a meme lord. Drew's face at me nearly popping. I love it. Do you think we're getting any debuts, surprises, returns? Do you think Cardi B is mixing it up with anyone? Bailey going to be around? Any thoughts?
I heard a few things about Bailey maybe interfering.
Okay. And Lyra and Becky?
I would love to see that because I want her at SummerSlam. And I feel like she doesn't get a lot of opportunity for some reason. She missed WrestleMania too. So
I know. Whose side is she interfering on? Is she going heel and pairing up with Becky? Or is she, because Lyra called her a frenemy today in media. So I don't think she even knows what side Bailey is on. But
what if she beats up both of them?
Okay. Listen, sometimes you're nobody's friend, and that's all right too.
I stand alone.
And I'm wondering if Bailey gets mixed up with Cardi B because they were tweeting at each other a little bit, and Bailey seems to have no problem doing spots like that. So I'm intrigued by that.
Cardi has a couple of people on her, you know, radar.
She's literally saying, "Am I the drama?" You know what I mean? I feel like she's well suited for this for sure. yes, you are, Cardi. At least this weekend. At least this weekend she is.
Exactly.
Well, any other thoughts as we're kind of closing out here, Jazz?
On night one or like in general?
Overall. Any thoughts on SummerSlam? Any major moves?
I just want everyone to be safe. I always get nervous. And I hope everyone has fun and no injuries. That's all I can hope for. No injuries.
I love that. You just want everyone to have fun. I like it.
I look forward to pizza, soda, and all the bad things that I probably should not be eating the PLEs.
That's what, like, if there's a time to eat it, it's during a wrestling PLE. But me, Norma St. Jazz, you lose points for not liking steak, but we appreciate talented, charismatic people. End of compliments. Get sharper teeth and eat more steak. Well, damn, me, Norma. All right.
True.
Quick reminder for you about what we have coming up this weekend. Obviously, no Collision Post Show because they were on Thursday. So there was a TNA Collision Post Show. If you are interested in hearing thoughts on that, the wonderful Cresta joined Joel for that. This weekend, you had this review. You have Alex Pulaski doing a SmackDown review, I believe, as well on Fightful Select. You have him back there with SP3. On Fightful Select for night one. I'm going to be at SummerSlam for night one. You're going to have me and Alex for night two on Fightful Select. And you're going to have Sean Ross Sapp on here for night one and two on the main, not on Select, right here on YouTube, where we have 200,000 subscribers, which feels great to say. With all of those reviews, I believe you're also getting Grapsody on Saturday morning per usual. So check out the fellas. They've got plenty to talk about there as well. Please do leave a thumbs up on this video on your way out. Jazz, plug yourself one more time before we get out of here.
Jazz Unfiltered on YouTube, Jazz Unfiltered 6 on X, Twitter, and Jazz Marie 23 on Instagram.
I like that I said shout out and you went literally went, nah, like you were saying. That about does it here. Go make some money on my bookie with us and join Fightful Select because we got scoops coming all weekend. Learn all about Becky Lynch's new theme. All sorts of fun stuff happening on Fightful Select. Subscribe. Never been a better time. Have a safe and wonderful wrestling weekend. If you're going to SummerSlam, please say hi if you see me. I'll be taking pictures at the tailgate. I'll be all over the place for you. Have a great weekend. We'll see you on the next one.
Bye. Thank you.
Save big on everything for your next project when you shop at Menards. Finish up projects with GE-branded silicone sealants. Tub and tile silicone is 100% waterproof and offers same-day water readiness, making it perfect to use in kitchens and bathrooms. Shop our selection of GE sealants in-store and on Menards.com and save big. Plus, check out the weekly flyer to view all of our other great deals happening this week. Save big.